Bill Belichick famously said, "We're on to Cincinnati. For many of you playing Survivor football in 2024, we're out because of Cincinnati." The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented exclusively by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Brandon Legal Group would like me as a paid non-attorney spokesperson to remind you, if you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you have been paying permanent alimony, that is no longer law in the state of Florida for over one calendar year now. You can reduce or eliminate your financial obligation going forward with help from Brandon Legal Group. For a free consult, call 813-902-3576 or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com for a free consultation. Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Stop paying permanent alimony. Stop picking Cincinnati in key spots. They looked awful. A lot of teams looked awful. Some looked awful and still won in week one. Some looked awful and deservedly lost in week one. The carnage in survivor pools on Cincinnati seems to be anywhere from 1 in 4 upwards to near half, based on some of the data available, some data from Circa, some data from the pool I'm in, some data from pools I know other people are in. Cincinnati was the biggest favorite on the board in terms of point spreads that we went over last week. We're going to go over this week. And a major flop for Cincinnati, despite Ja'Marr Chase playing in that particular game, that Bengals offense would only put up 10 points, and Jacoby Brissett gets it done, as well as Ramondre Stevenson. For more on Ramondre, listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast on separate platforms or via joebucksfan.com, as I would imagine he was someone on benches in fantasy football in week one who may not be on benches in week two, or would be a very tradable commodity, because it's not like all of us are going to start buying into the Patriots. One of the things you do after week one games, you evaluate, was the winner that good or was the loser that bad? We have to do that with a number of games this week. So let's just advance to week two, recording this to get it to you fast enough, recording this before Jets Niners. So if Aaron Rodgers goes down again in the first game of the season in prime time, just like last year, then that changes the way we look at the Jets going forward. We are recording this at roughly 12 noon Eastern time on Monday, September the 9th. So let's identify, let's just take a look at all the numbers and all the data. Before I do that, Gil Alexander hosts a numbers game on VSiN. I know many of you are familiar with VSiN and many of you are familiar with Gil, but let me just do this at the top, because Gil is beyond passionate about Survivor. Gil's more into this than me. Gil will give you more Survivor content weekly than me. This is one podcast, and it's fun for me to do. It's the second year we're going to do it, and I thank Brandon Legal Group for paying for it, so you can have it for free. I just offer you another opinion. Gil and I talk often about Survivor. Two things Gil talked about in the last couple of weeks that I want to share and attribute to Gil. One, he thinks the term Survivor is a misnomer. He understands why it's called that, but he says you're not playing to survive, you're playing to win. And he created a theory of, let's say, a pool a couple of years ago was down to 100 people, and it was a bad Raider team against a good Cowboy team on Thanksgiving. And he created a scenario where he said, okay, you can play the Raiders or play the Cowboys, but you actually have tangible knowledge that the other 99 players are going to play Dallas. What do you do? And the point he was making was, are you trying to win or not? Because if you're trying to win, you play the Raiders and hope for the any given Sunday, or in this case, any given Thanksgiving scenario, because you're playing to win. A lot of that applies to not being on big favorites or not being on teams like Cincinnati that are going to take up a lot of picks, and you can potentially advance yourself significantly in the game if something goes wrong and all those entries go out. So that's one thing that Gil brings up. The other thing he brought up as it relates to division games, and last year here on the Survivor podcast, I talked about be careful with division games. I'm going to modify that a little bit based on some of the data Gil just gave on VSiN recently. How in the last 21 or 22 years, so this is a huge sample size. This is more than my win line data that I believe I got from Warren Sharp. Tremendous Twitter feed as well. Over the last 3-4 years, in terms of if you had just bet money line winners, AFC North, and money line losers, AFC South, the last 3-4 years in non-division games, you would have been winning at a 60% plus clip. If you know, again, on one division, AFC North, against another division, AFC South, last 3-4 years going into this season. Gil's sample size is even larger for this, that to not shy away from division games, any division games, any of the 8 divisions where the point spread is 5 or more, because those significantly work for the team favored by 5. So I'm going to start incorporating that into what I'm talking about, and I got those from Gil. Thank you, Gil. Here we go, week 2. Starts with a Thursday night game in South Florida between 2 teams that win in week 1, Bills and Dolphins. Dolphins opened as a 1-point choice. As of the recording of this podcast on Monday at lunchtime, it has moved slightly towards the Dolphins in some shops to either 1.5 or 2. So there's a division game, but it's lower than a 5-point spread. So that is one I would shy away from. Personally, I like the Bills in the game. I think they have the better quarterback. Was superhuman in the win against Arizona. Both teams should have done some more as it relates to getting certain people involved. Bills getting Dalton Kincaid more involved. Dolphins getting running backs more involved in terms of actually running the ball last week, especially in a close game. That's one I would imagine many are going to stay away from. I personally like Buffalo, but I just think Buffalo has proven they're a better team in recent years than the Dolphins, and I need to see that to believe it otherwise. Then we move to the Sunday slate. Unfortunately, no Friday games again until likely first Friday next year. They can get away with that next year. Expect a first Friday game again next year. Not sure where, but expect it. They're going to do it. They can legally do it based on the calendar, so they'll do it again next year. So we jump ahead to Sunday. Early action, Vegas off a loss, at Baltimore off a loss. This will be a very popular play. Baltimore was a very popular play in week 1 last year. And if you were on them, you were a winner. Unlike a lot of people in week 1 last year went down with, I know Minnesota was one, and I think the Rams went into Seattle and won. And there was this expectation that the Rams were going to be awful last year. They were not. So I think those were the 2 big week 1 losers last year. Not at the level that Cincinnati took people out this year. Ravens opened at 8. It is moving up to 8.5. I see a 9.5 as well. So there's my stat via Warren Sharp. We'll call it Warren's. That is a divisional game. I'm sorry. That is an AFC North non-divisional game. You see Baltimore. Baltimore will be a very heavy play against Vegas this week, and I incorporate the coast-to-coast travel element as well. And Baltimore will have had three extra days to prepare, and they're sitting at home and not getting on a plane. It's like half a bye week Baltimore has to prepare for the Raiders. So that will be a big play. Chargers also traveling cross-country, going to Carolina for their home opener. As bad as Cincinnati was, dare we say Carolina was worse. Game over probably before halftime in Canales' debut. It's the Panther home opener. So David Tepper will throw out the first drink shortly before kickoff in a ceremony in his suite. So Chargers opened as a 4.5-point road favorite. You know you stink when you open as a 4.5-point home underdog to the Chargers after one game where they beat the Raiders. Wow, in the Harbaugh era. And this number has already moved up to 5.5 some places. Probably will get up, I would imagine, there's no reason it won't get up to just below 7. I doubt it'll get up to 7, but I don't see any reason it won't. I tend to stay away from road teams, but I really like Minnesota at the Giants in week one. And sometimes you just have a bad enough situation with a home team where they couldn't win an inter-squad game. And that might be where Carolina, as well as the Giants, are right now. Saints go to the Cowboys. Both of these games, were the Saints and Cowboys that good, or were their opponents that bad? Deshaun Watson was brutal in the loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Warren Sharp always has some very poignant stuff on his Twitter feed about Deshaun Watson. Cowboys open at 6.5. Not a lot of movement here. If anything, it's bumping up to 7 for Dallas in this spot. So Dallas is a big favorite. If you think New Orleans was simply the beneficiary of playing a horrific Carolina team until further notice that doesn't even have their number one running back until he comes off PUP, and Dave Canales stresses balance on offense. Notice the bigger numbers for Baker Mayfield, independent of Canales, because he's not, if you will, handcuffed to the first down handoff based on week one results against Washington, then you might consider the Cowboys here. Cowboys 6.5 or 7-point choice. I understand those of you playing circa have to, you know, keep Dallas in your back pocket for Thanksgiving. Not everybody plays by circa rules. I'm playing week to week rules as well. I'll acknowledge the circa stuff as we go along. Buccaneers travel to the Lions. I'm a little stunned this is a 1 o'clock game. Now, granted, it's not like the Lions can play in primetime every week, even though they're the new darlings, and they just delivered a phenomenal Sunday night overtime game against the Rams, where, as I told a lot of people, including Gil, go a month in advance of Rams-Lions on Sunday night. I said winner of Rams-Lions opening week will host Rams-Lions NFC Championship game. I stand by that. Buccaneers open as a 6.5-point dog. Going to Detroit, I see this has moved up to 7. I don't imagine we'll see any dramatic change in that movement. It'll hang around that 7-point number. I don't see any reason why you would want to use the Lions here against the longest tenured playoff team in the NFC that went out in week one and took care of business and put up a big number. That was a very, also, that Lions-Rams game was very, very physical. I didn't see every game. I can't see every game. But I wonder, coming back off week one overtime game, if the Lions feel that game more than the Bucs felt the game against Washington. So this is a big number, but I don't imagine we'll see a big percentage of people on either Tampa Bay or Detroit here. And again, that's one of the better 1 o'clock games you're going to get all year, because those are two playoff teams. Colts at Packers. Colts lose again in week one. They've been losing in week one now for what, 10 or 11 years. They do open as a road favorite, and this is simply because Jordan Love's injury. So we will have people weekly until further notice picking against the Packers, which you can do in Survivor Leagues because it's about picking a winner and not you can pick against the team as much as you want. So this is one of the first biggest changes in game theory because of the Jordan Love injury. And as we speak, the Packers seemingly have no other option than what they currently have on the roster. We're all sort of brainstorming. Do they sign Tannehill as a free agent? We've already heard he's not interested. For the right amount of money, he would be interested. Do they trade for someone? Go ahead and insert your own trade candidates there. I will say Russell Wilson did love playing in Wisconsin. And perhaps the Steelers off a win with Justin Fields are just like, yeah, good enough for us. And Wilson's on a one-year deal. But again, recording this on Monday afternoon, a lot can happen by the time you listen to this. But I would imagine people picking Colts to win at Packers will also be very popular this week. The line opens at 2.5. for the Colts and went up to 3 quickly. Browns at Jaguars, that's it's kind of your basic 3-point favorite for the Jags coming off a loss to the Browns. Jags look better than the Browns did. I think the Browns are a better team than the Jaguars. I think there's some value in this, but not from a survivor standpoint. If this game was Jaguars at Browns, I would probably feel differently. 49ers and Vikings. 49ers, again, haven't played at the time of our broadcast, barring major injury or a return of Jim Tomsula to the sideline. There's a name you haven't heard in a while. Niners opened as a 5.5-point choice against Minnesota. I don't imagine this will be a popular survivor play either way. Seattle goes cross country to the Patriots. Seattle under Pete Carroll was one of those teams, was unique in how well they tended to perform in cross country games. We no longer have that Pete Carroll effect. I don't know if the traveling secretary and traveling plans have changed. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Seattle opening as a 4-point coast to coast road dog over New England. The line has actually gone down a little bit. I mean, we could see New England winning their first two and then finishing, what, 4-13? You could. Teams have done it before. Whether we're talking win the first two and then lose most of the games the rest of the season, that's not sustainable. What the Patriots did is not sustainable. But for a week in this spot, obviously, the odds makers like Seattle, and the early money, though, coming in on New England taking the field goal plus. Jets at Titans. Will Levis was brutal. Caleb Williams throws for under 100 yards in his debut, but he didn't give the game away, which Will Levis did. I've been saying since Callahan was named the head coach of Tennessee, the Titans quarterback is not on their current roster, and it could be John Browning at some point in the near future, based on Browning's performance in absence of Joe Burrow with Callahan as his quarterback's coach last year. So Titans are a 4 to 4.5-point home underdog against the Jets, who will be traveling there on a short week. Don't imagine we'll see a lot of survivor play there. The last of the 1 o'clock starts week two Sunday, Giants at Commanders. Commanders open at 3. It's actually gone down in some shops to 2.5. This might be a spot where, like Gil talks about, are you playing to win or not? And if you're playing to win and you're looking at the long game, you know that over the span of all these weeks, you're going to have to take a team off the radar that isn't a Super Bowl contender, that isn't a playoff team, that just has a very good spot. This is a division game. It doesn't look like it will get to that five number that Gil talked about in division games, where you then say, okay, it's five or more. So what? It's a division game. The favorite's going to win. It's not there. I don't know if it'll get there, but I would imagine Washington will see some action in week two. And also, it's this simple. It's Jaden Daniels with the ball in his hand against Daniel Jones with the ball in his hand. That's pretty easy for me. Rams at Cardinals. Rams check Puka Nacua status. That's probably the second most significant skill, offensive skill position injury off week one. Rams open as a 2.5-point favorite at Arizona. I see it going down to 1.5, so another road favorite for this week. Don't imagine this will be a big survivor play. Bengals getting 6 at Kansas City. We're going to see a number of people who are not in the circle pool take Kansas City this week. I would imagine off Cincinnati's first game flop against New England, with the Chiefs having an extra 3 days to prepare and not even getting on a plane. So the number opens at 6. It's actually been bumped down to 5.5 at FanDuel. But yeah, I get it. You know, if you just are like, yeah, I don't want to worry about anything and take Kansas City here. The Bengals have shown the ability against a team like Kansas City to go head to head with them and beat them. I mean, they did it to get to a Super Bowl 3 years ago, but that was a horrible first impression last week. So we'll see some Chiefs play. Probably not the most, but it'll be top five. Steelers road favorite at the Broncos after winning on the road at Atlanta with Justin Fields. Keep checking status on the quarterback this week. That would be fun for all parties if Russell Wilson again doesn't play in his return to Denver and Justin Fields plays and leads the Steelers to a win over Denver with Russell on the bench and for some reason in full pads. Steelers open at 3. Looks like it's going down a tick early in the week. Bears a 5-point road dog at the Titans, and this is moving a lot. Already moved up to 6.5 a lot of places. So, yeah, Houston is in play for survivor picks, probably as a top five survivor pick. That's the Sunday night game. And then Falcons at Eagles. Eagles with a little extra time to prepare, although they took the long flight home. That'll work against Green Bay also, is the long flight home overnight on Friday. Falcons off their poor performance in their home opener against Pittsburgh. Falcons getting 4.5. It is up to 5.5 or 6 early in the week. Eagles offense looked somewhat unstoppable against the Packers at full strength, despite the tush pushes growing pains, if we call it that, with a new center. I openly question, did LaFleur hire the BC head coach to be his DC, and is that above his pay grade? Will it be as easy against the Falcons, who have Raheem Morris as a defensive-minded head coach, to potentially slow what the Eagles do? But the Eagles off to a very fast start. And some people will – look, I like the Eagles in this game, and I would imagine the Eagles will be a top six survivor play based on extra time to prepare, how good they looked week one, how bad Atlanta looked week one. So there you go. Ask me any of your survivor questions at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com, and thanks for listening to my podcast. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit brandonlegalgroup.com or call 813-902-3576.